Jeff, if you can hear me, we're super laggy and I'd like to pause.
You're listening to the Pinball Podcast with Don and Jeff.
Hey, thank you for joining us on the Pinball Podcast episode. Oh, hell, I don't remember. 43, sure. If I mess it up, we'll let people know next week. I'm Don, and with me, as always, is Jeff. What's up, Jeff?
No, hold on. I just have one burning question for you, Don.
Here we go.
Does too many pins spoil the collection?
Never.
Got it.
Nice. I forgot that was a thing that is people just heard.
And happening, yeah.
Possibly, yes. All right, nifty LEDs. Let's get right into it, Jeff.
Yeah, let's do it, because I placed an order there today.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I'd love to hear all about that. Yep. Right now, go ahead.
Okay, so I ordered a bunch of...
No, not a 45-minute rant.
No, I just said I ordered a bunch of the pinballs, because they've kind of taken over as my favorite pinball, the premium glossy look. And then I, inspired by one of our reader questions, decided to do something a little bit crazy and ordered a bunch of color changer LEDs, and I want to put them in the helmet and Bride of Pinbot to see if that looks crazy and if they color change equally or randomly. And if it's randomly, that might look really, really cool. If it's not too distracting, I might go with it for a while, but if it's equally, that could look super cool as well. So I just want to see what it does. I have a feeling that they're going to pulse out of sync because it's a chaser board. So anyway, This is for science. So I ordered a bunch of those.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The community wants to know. I was thinking if they pulse together in the same color, it would look pretty cool.
Yeah, but it's a chaser board, so I don't think they will.
Yeah, I don't know if that would work. Yeah.
It should be interesting.
We'll find out soon. Yeah, and probably on the next show, huh?
Probably.
Are they bayonet based on that thing?
They're 555s actually. They're wedge base.
Oh, okay, so they're wedge base.
Yeah,
cool.
Which
nifty LED.
Oh, huh? Sorry, I was gonna say which I placed the order.
I'm
I was
trying
over
to do a little
house.
Thing here.
Yeah, I was over at my parents' house. I was like trying to remember, are they 555s? I couldn't quite remember, but I thought they were. I guess. And then I came home and before recording, pulled the glass and checked, and luckily I was right. So
I am always wrong when I guess.
Yeah, me too. Usually.
I have tons of the wrong base everywhere in my house.
You'd think it would even out over time, but no, it doesn't.
Nope. No, it does not.
So.
Are you done, Jeff?
Yeah.
Can I continue with the advertisement?
Yeah, I'm getting free. I'm getting $5 flat rate shipping on this order, by the way.
Well, fantastic. So that means your order was under $100. Because if it was over $100, you'd be getting free shipping.
Yeah, and it's under $100 because of great prices.
Fantastic. Great prices, great selection, niftyled.com, and free french fry trays with every order, or I'm assuming anyway. Yeah. Unless you ordered a ton. Do you think you get like a supersized french fry tray? That'd be pretty sweet if you ordered like 20,000 bulbs. Somebody do that. Somebody order 20,000 and let us know.
Yeah. Please order 20,000. I'd like to see that.
Please. Use the affiliate link on thepinballpodcast.com.
Yeah. /
There you go.
Boatload of nifties.
I got an email from Mike at wizardamusement.com, and he wanted to let people know that he is working on a Rudy shooter. What is it called? Hang on.
Custom shooter rock?
Ball shooter mod. Yes. He makes custom game-specific ball shooter mods. He's doing a Rudy for Funhouse, and he's doing a Red and Ted for Roadshow. So I got to check those out. Or maybe I could do like two Reds on one and a Ted and a Rudy on the other.
Yeah, it'd be a little
segregated
bit...
segregated machines.
A little bit creepy, yeah. That zone of the house.
Adam and Steve on another. Yeah. Anyway, they've got over 50 different models, and if you mentioned you heard this advertisement right now that you're listening to right now, you get 10% off. Also, you order two or more shooter rods, you get free shipping. So there you go.
Cool.
Good stuff. Yes. Don't forget to check out MezelMods, MezelMods.com. Been doing a lot of work over there lately. And we're almost done with the advertising segment. Should we, like, split these out throughout the show? Would that be better? Or just get them out of the way?
I think a lot of people enjoy getting all their valuable shopping information up front. But
okay. All right. We'll keep rolling. Actually, we have a contest this month. Don't let me forget, okay?
I'd never forget.
It's sponsored by David Paul of lifeunderglass.com. Excuse me, .net. Lifeunderglass.net. So, don't let me forget. We'll be talking more about them a little bit later.
Is the .com like some like chinchilla fan page or something like that?
It's cats in glass boxes. What is it? Bonsai kitties? It's bonsai kitties.
Okay.
Their life is under glass.
Such a happy life.
Yes. Jeff, what have you been doing in pinball?
Well, I played a little bit of location pinball yesterday, waiting for my movie to start. What'd you play? Well, I own the machine, but I played Tron.
South Park.
Still. It's fun. Tron's one of those games that I like playing other ones because they are all different with different quirks. This being a location machine, it leaned really hard to the right. So every single one of the balls I lost drained right, but it's still fun.
Couldn't you adjust that? Couldn't you just lean down and
There was enough people kind of hanging around that I didn't really want the idea of fiddling with a pinball machine like looking normal. If it had been kind of quiet in there, I probably would have, but I just dealt with it. But it was kind of cool. Like some people caught sight of me playing it and must have looked fun, and a bunch of people were playing it afterwards, so that was good. Other than that, I kind of, like, November, December is when I start going through my machines and shopping them one by one, so I've started that. I think I mentioned last show that I had swapped the pinballs out on the AC/DC, and I'm actually going to go out, and I haven't ever done a teardown shop on that game yet, and I realized it's probably time. So, I've been doing a little bit of that, and I'm still just playing around with kind of the arcade machines I have and whether or not I want to dump a couple of them and maybe get another pinball machine here as the listings are picking up going into the holidays. And then one of my former bosses contacted me, and he's put me, he's kind of tasked me with helping him find a machine. He's got about a $5,000 budget on it, so see what I can find him. Right now, I think he's leaning towards an AC/DC, but it's kind of fun when you get a shop for someone else.
Is that the same guy that wanted the NFL? Is that you that was talking about that?
No, I don't know anybody that wanted somebody an NFL.
Okay. I remember somebody saying their boss wanted an NFL.
Yeah, well, that's a good education opportunity.
Yeah, just stop him right there.
Yeah. I mean, I would accept Striker Extreme, but not NFL.
Sure, yeah. Oh, since you just mentioned it, the Nifty LED pinballs, we talked about how great they were on the last show, and then later in the show, I told people to buy their pinballs from Pinball Life. So I was wrong.
You can buy them wherever you want. It's okay.
I hurt our sponsor's feelings.
It's okay. It's a preference.
They're both great places. Yeah, yeah. Both great retailers.
Yes.
Yes. All right, cool. And I don't think we gave enough love to Joe Zinkus. Did you enjoy the Joe Zinkus skit at the end of last month's episode?
I thought it was great.
It was great.
One of my all-time favorite movies.
Films. Time travel films.
Experiences.
I ended up seeing sort of three different time travel films within a like one-day period this week. So my head's a little turned around.
I saw...
They're all... Yeah, I kind of took it from different perspectives.
Explain.
I saw Interstellar, X-Men, Days of Future Past, and Edge of Tomorrow.
Okay, I've only seen one of those.
All of which with heavy-duty time travel elements.
Yeah, and it's not quite the simple, happy, don't have to think too much about it rule set that you've got in Back to the Future.
Back to the Future. Yeah, Back to the Future, the rules were just kind of, oh, here they are.
Yeah.
This is all that matters.
Yeah,
don't worry about him trying to nail his mom.
We watched X-Men just recently, just a couple weeks ago. And then we were going to go see Interstellar, but instead we took the kids to Big Hero 6, so.
Oh, yeah, that looked good.
Yeah, it was good. Kids liked it a lot.
I'd wait on Interstellar either way.
Don't tell me what to do.
It's not a bad film. It's just super long.
It is long, I've noticed, yeah.
I actually went to see it in theaters because it was so long, and I figured I'd be forced to just sit there. I wouldn't start looking at my phone or stop and try and go back to it the next day. I would just sit there and take it all in. It's just a little too much. Anyway, the best of those films is Edge of Tomorrow. Edge of Tomorrow is awesome.
I've heard it's very entertaining.
It's great. Check it out. Anyway, so thanks, Joe, for that skit. I heard the skit on Coast to Coast. I did not hear the spooky one. Coast to Coast, he did Tommy Boy, which was pretty much perfect.
Yeah, I'm behind on my podcasts, but I will check those out.
Yeah, I feel very behind on podcasts as well. I wanted to throw a shout out to Taylor VA. I talked last week about the side rails, not side rails, but the playfield rails that he had made and sent to me. So I got them installed the other day in The Simpsons, and they are very nice and shiny and dark black, and they had kind of fuzz on them from they were wrapped in paper when I received them. So I took a wet rag and wiped them off, and no paint came off, very durable paint. It was kind of hard in a way to put them on because all the holes you were threading for the first time.
Oh yeah.
He drilled all the holes, but then you have to thread the screws in. So it didn't take long though. It took me probably less than an hour to do the whole game. It's 5 rails on The Simpsons.
So it's not a monorail.
Nice. It's not a monorail. Thank you. So yeah, $45. You can hit up Taylor VA on Pinside, or I will try to remember to put his contact information in the show notes this week and last week, since I forgot last week.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're very nice. If you're shopping a game, you might as well, or not shopping, but if you're restoring a game, you might as well upgrade the rails, keep them looking shiny.
I agree.
Shiny for the first time, because the originals are not shiny. Yeah. And EvapoRust. Have you ever tried that stuff?
I haven't used it. I've just heard it's a miracle product, but I've not done that, no.
It is a miracle product. I tried it today.
So on legs? Or
On legs and a lockdown bar.
Oh.
David Robinson had bought, I think it was an old Data East lockdown bar, but he got it off eBay or something, and it had a lot of rust on it, like the paint had chipped off. And the front was rusted. So he asked if I could throw it in there with the legs whenever I did it. And the stuff is about $25. I think it's 3 liters. So I had a 4-inch tube, PVC tube, and my dad helped and he made a cap for it.
Mm-hmm.
So once I put the EvapoRust in it, it could just stay in there. So I filled the tube up. It took 2 of those 3-liter things. So I guess about 5 liters worth. I have a little bit left. And I put some baling wire through the legs and through the lockdown bar, stuck them all in there, waited 24 hours, took them out today, and you're supposed to just rinse them off with water. I rinsed them off and then dried them with a towel, and the legs look straight up brand new. I don't know if I can put pictures on the website, but I'll put a picture somewhere. And I showed my wife the picture. She's like, oh, you got some new legs? I said, no, they're not new. They only look new. And the lockdown bar came out really good, too. It still had paint on some of it. But, the brown parts are silver now.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then I just stuck the cap back on, and it'll stay in that tube. And you can use it. It says you can just keep reusing it until it kind of stops doing its business. It outlasts its usability, I think it's what it said.
Well, that's nice.
Some guys will put their legs in a pan and then pour it into the pan and leave it overnight. But it's called EvapoRust because it evaporates very quickly.
Yeah. The
so
tube
they'll come out the next
better.
Day to an empty pan. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you definitely need to seal it up somehow. I don't know if you put saran wrap over it, if that would work, but I would say PVC pipe's the way to go. And you don't have to use a 4-inch pipe. That's what we had on hand. I think you can do a 3.5-inch and it'll still fit 4 legs.
Okay. So it won't soften or eat away at the PVC at all?
It's not supposed to. It's water soluble. I got it on my hands and stuff, and it didn't hurt.
Okay.
I still have skin on my hands, so Yeah, it seemed kind of gentle, but worked really, really well.
Cool.
So I'm a believer. Very simple, too. I didn't have to scrub anything or chip or polish or anything. So, anyway, read the box. There's a bunch of information on the jug.
Yeah, I want to get some because I have some machines where, like, the legs or the lock bars aren't necessarily rusty, but they could use a bit of a shinier look to them, and I guess it works pretty good at just getting things generally pretty shiny again, huh?
Yeah, that's what it seems like. The whole leg is very nice and shiny. It looks just like it was chromed. You can see, you know, if there were scratches or dings on it, they're still there.
Yeah.
It doesn't restore the metal. It doesn't sand them or anything. No. But they're, you know, they do look basically brand new. You can get it at Harbor Freight. And I think you can get it other places, but I got mine at Harbor Freight. And like I said, I think it was $23. And then they have coupons all the time, so I got them a little bit cheaper than that. But
cool.
There you go. The tale of Evaporust. And the only other thing I've been doing, I haven't played any pins in my house, but we did have our finals for the Duke City Pinball League Season 2. And it was on location. I brought a game. Friend Sean brought a game. And then the Measles brought 3 games. And we met at this soul food restaurant. And it was actually really cool. We had a really good time. We had a good turnout. No issues with scoring or anything weird. We had one guy that walked off to get a beer during his ball 3. And he came back and the auto plunge was not turned off.
Oh yeah.
So after a minute it plunged the ball and he came back and his fourth ball or his third ball was gone. And so we kind of, two of us judged or whatever, gave our judgments separately. And we had the same judgment that you shouldn't leave the game while you're playing.
Yeah. I don't think you should walk away from the machine.
No. So, oh well. He ended up winning. He actually won the whole tournament. He got first place for the whole season.
Oh, so he's okay with it, I bet.
Yeah, he's okay. He was kind of bummed, but, you know, he shouldn't have walked away.
No.
I felt bad, but usually in league play, I turn off the auto plunge, but the rest of the time I leave it on just in case the kids start a game.
Yeah. It's nothing more fun than 4 players being started and then walked away from.
Yeah, hours later you come back with white hot coils and everything ready to go.
Yep.
Well, so that was a good time. I ended up in 7th place because I totally rigged it.
Good job.
And cash prizes for the top 8. So
yeah. You can't make it look too, you know, crazy.
Right. I think with my winnings, I made approximately 40 cents an hour for the time I put hosting the whole league. So that's nice. It's something.
Well done.
Yes. All right. Show feedback. We got a lot. We actually didn't get a single email, but we got a ton of feedback from Facebook.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah. So check us out on facebook.com/pinballpodcast. The first comment was from a listener named Miguel. He said, "I have heard you lamenting the lack of pinball anthems other than Pinball Wizard. Are you familiar with the zine Multiball? They included records with the zine with pinball-themed music. Quite a few of those tracks are available on CD."
Yeah, I'm going to have to hunt those down. I'm totally unfamiliar.
I had heard of it because when I got into the hobby, I was just hungry for anything pinball. So I was familiar with it, but I think they were kind of expensive or more than I wanted to pay. It was like, I don't know, close to $20 per zine. I guess that's not super expensive, but yeah.
Maybe it adds up.
Track them down or convince somebody to rip them for me since they're out of print. And I've been thinking about this a lot more, about my stance on Pinball Wizard and how everybody calls us Pinball Wizards and how it's irritating. And I've decided to soften my stance because what would be preferable? Pinball Champs or something?
Other than Wizard?
Pinball Lords? Yeah, other than Wizard. You don't go like, oh man, that guy's a bowling warlock. You know
what I mean? I know. Like, a shooter would definitely be preferable. I don't know.
Pinball shooter. I don't know. At least it's something catchy that caught on in a pop culture way.
I guess.
He's a hoopster.
Pinball Mac Daddy.
Are called.
Get some early 90s going in here.
A pimpball champion?
Yeah, like pimpball.
Pimpball? Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, thanks for the suggestion. We will have to find another anthem, but I've softened my stance. I'll stop complaining about The Who.
For a while.
For a while, yes.
Okay.
We got a message from Chris Stevens. He said, during Papa TV 2 weeks ago, they did a version of Keep Flip Part Out that was called Keep Play Burn. He said he was in the middle of playing Nippet and fortunately did not get the chance to give a shout out to our podcast, but I'll do it next time.
It's totally okay.
It's all right.
We've had some shout outs on Papa. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, Gene X Wong was wearing a Pinball Podcast t-shirt on Papa.
Yeah.
A couple months ago.
And the King of Pinball got a mention during the voting phase last year. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool. Right on. So, yeah. And Papa seems to be kind of active. They've popped up a couple times on Twitch the last couple weeks.
They are popping up a lot.
Yes.
Pun.
Thank you for that, Jeff. Huh?
Just, you know.
Bread's done?
Puns.
Buns.
Puns.
This is a question for Jeff.
Uh-oh.
Andrew Burke wrote in a bop question for a bop owner. Yeah. Right, a pinbot. Have LEDs installed in my game with both an LED and a GI OCD board. Unfortunately, the Helmet Light Show is not affected by the OCD board, so I'm trying to find a non-ghosting bulb that is not super bright. With 18 LEDs installed in the helmet, it's just blinding. I'd keep incandescent in it, but they blow a fuse on the GI OCD board when I have them installed.
Yeah, I'm confused at why it's blowing the OCD board since the helmet's got its own kind of chaser light board, so it's crazy that they're...
It's not hooked into the GI at all? Or...
I'm trying... It must be, but it's controlled separately, I guess. Like, it's using the same power draw.
GI OCD. We'd have to see... You can't leave any incandescent bulbs in when you have the GI OCD?
I don't know. That's something I hadn't thought of.
Okay, so there's actually on their website, ledocd.com, it says right here. Oh, I just lost it. The helmet lights on Brida Pinbot are not controlled by GI, but installed by a separate chase board. GI OCD will not affect them at all, neither positively or negatively.
Interesting.
So, yeah, they specifically call it out. So, I don't know. I would contact those guys and see what the deal is. Maybe it's a faulty board or the wrong fuse is installed, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They are separate boards, so it could... Yeah, maybe the fuse is not correct, and so you replace it with the same fuse, but it's not the right one. I don't know. That's why I was, like, joking. I said colored. Incandescence. Obviously, they're the same. They're just the bulbs are dipped in paint.
Painted.
But, yeah, it just seems crazy to me. Like, on mine, I have LEDs in there, but I do not have the OCD, so I can't, like, replicate that issue here. But in my helmet, I did leave colored incandescence, and they look great, because I actually start with blue at the bottom, and then towards the top of the helmet, they fade from, like, blue to yellow to red. It looks pretty cool.
Shoot a video, Jeff.
I could do that. And I'll talk about video a little bit more later. So,
okay.
Foreshadowing. I don't know. Like, that's a tricky one. As far as LEDs go, brightness is definitely an issue when you're dealing with an exposed bulb like that. That's probably why I never went with LED when I changed them all out back in the day. But some of the frosted ones you can get now aren't quite as harsh. Honestly, I would actually talk to one of the LED vendors. You can email a lot of them. Email Nifty, say, hey, what's a good bulb that's not going to blind my eyes out? And they may have some suggestions for you on that. They might actually have known someone who's done the same thing. A lot of times people go back and forth with them when they're changing out bulbs in their machines until they find the right one for it. So, you know, talk to whoever you get your LEDs from and see if they have a specific suggestion for a lower brightness bulb. I know a lot of them are kind of in a brightness race with each other, but they do have lower intensity bulbs around, so.
That is true. I think we've hit the event horizon. We don't need to keep going.
You can probably brighter. Put like a, it might be kind of a clumsy fix, but you probably could put like a bulb condom over it. That would tone it down a little bit, but then you're going to be dealing with a lot different look with just like either yellow, red, or orange. So I don't know. Unfortunately, I do.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I say, unfortunately, I do think incandescents do look best there. Maybe some of the retro styles, if you need to go LED. The retro styles generally aren't quite as bright, and they would look pretty close to the original look. So you try that.
Yeah. Let us know what happens.
Yeah.
Andrew?
I would like to know, because that's one game where I've considered getting an OCD board, because the light show is just so much of a big deal on that game. So.
Yeah. I'd probably start with emailing the LED OCD guys and then go to the LED guys for their suggestions.
Yeah, that's probably their proper order for sure.
Cool. Thank you. Andrew Haney. Gosh, I feel like I'm always saying it wrong, even though he said it rhymes with honey. I just feel like I'm saying it wrong.
You want to say anyway, Haney, don't you?
I want to say Haney.
Hanandy.
But I don't say, I don't put... On my sopapillas, I don't put honey on them. I put honey on them. All right. He says, you're right. I don't like being called Andy. We called him Andy Hanny last time, which is even worse. It made his kids laugh when they heard it, though. So that's what we're here for, giving back to the children, bringing joy and smiles to their faces.
Not this month. It's Andrew all the way, kids.
Andrew. Here's a question, just to hear my name again. If you could choose the next alphanumeric game to be upgraded with the P-Rock, what would it be, similar to the Bride of Pinbot 2.0?
I have a feeling we're going to say the same thing, but I'll let you go first.
Well, it's actually already happening, but the guys over at Skip B, I think, are doing the programming. I know they're doing Funhouse, and it's not Circus Voltaire.
Well,
maybe I just know Funhouse then.
Funhouse is going to be a very good pick, obviously.
Yeah.
That game already feels very modern. It's just lacking that little bit of extra modern touch. So.
To be selfish with my collection, I would say something like a Pinbot, but we already have Jackbot, so I'm going to go Whirlwind.
Okay, that's a good pick. Not what I was thinking you'd say, but mine, and I think that the game is screaming and begging for it, and that's Elvira and the Party Monsters.
That's a fantastic one. Yes, good call.
Because that game is just such a fun shooters game. If you could add some more depth and modes to it, and maybe even get her on board to do some sound drops, that'd be so cool.
That would be great. Hopefully that's in the pipeline with one of these companies.
Yeah, and she's pretty accessible and open to the pinball hobby still, so...
Yeah, she seems super cool.
Yeah.
Now I'm wondering what you thought I was going to say.
I thought you were going to say Elvira.
Oh.
Because we both like that game a lot.
Yeah, it's a great game. That is a very good answer.
If not that, then Genesis. Because if you're gonna do Bride of Pinbot, you might as well do Genesis.
I've got a Hollywood Heat just collecting dust.
Deadly Weapon.
I wouldn't mind. Is Deadly Weapon going to be our new Maverick? Seems like we've been picking on it a lot.
It's just that if Hollywood Heat gets mentioned, I have to think it kind of goes hand in hand with Deadly Weapon.
Okay.
No, there's a few that would be really good. I think F-14 would be great. You could do some really neat things there with F-14.
There's a ton, man.
Yeah.
Fire with more depth would be kind
of There's cool. a ton of Data East games that have great licenses, but could use better modes. Simpsons is one. The Daddy Simpsons could use some better modes. Same with Ninja Turtles. Both of them.
There's a lot of Data East games with DMDs that could use.
I guess Ninja Turtles has a treatment. DMD, but it's one of those tiny ones.
Yeah. It's I just, was thinking yeah. Street Fighter. Oh, that's a Gottlieb anyway.
That is a Gottlieb. No, there are tons of games. Like, if this continues to work out for them and they continue to make games, it could just be such a cool thing for the hobby. Like, price-wise, it's tough for me to jump on board right away, but it's kind of like the color DMD. The sticker shock's worn off, and now I just think it's cool, you know? Like, I'm like...
Yeah.
And people seem to be all over it, so I am a fan of the project.
Is P-Rock open source? Anybody can program it, but you got to buy the...
I think that that's the case, but I'm not 100% sure. I think it is.
Because it'd be cool if, like, a lot of... people, you know, like the hardcore whatever,
the smart people of the world,
have a hardcore F-14 fan would program the rules for it and then share it.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I don't know if it, you get into leaving coils on and burning down somebody's house, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, liability, I guess.
Yeah, but use it at your own risk. Pretty cool.
Yep.
All right. We got a weird comment from Evan Bingham about pinball narcissists, and I didn't know what he was getting at, but then I realized that he's the guy who's the pinball narcissist on Facebook.
Okay.
Which, if you haven't followed that page, you should check it out. It's facebook.com/pinballnarcissist. He writes, like, very hobby-specific macros, or memes, which are pretty funny, but nobody outside of the hobby would get them.
Those are the best kind.
Yeah, inside the hobby, they're hilarious, though. So, yeah, definitely check out Pinball Narcissist.
Will do.
Thank you. All right, let's just keep rolling. We're only a half hour in, so I think we're good.
Yeah, I think so.
We have about a jillion keep flip parts out to go over. So.
Okay.
I don't think we have any real pressing news. Honestly, I haven't been following Pinside that closely the last couple weeks.
Oh, like last week, we were in the... post-expo drought. So.
Yeah, lol. Yeah. Nate did his, I forget what he calls it, super fantastic Pinside forum crawl or something.
Right.
Where he just goes through each forum, each sub-forum, and talks about them. So if you want to hear a bunch about that, listen to the last
yeah, Coast how to about Coast. It?
But I didn't see any huge news or anything. Trying to think if there's anything weird. We got two different people emailed me asking if I wanted to buy a Maverick.
I mean, not the answer to that is no. Yes, but do circumstances allow? That's the question.
Right, yeah. I'm lousy with Mavericks over here now.
No, seriously, if I had the space and it wasn't going to be like something I'd have to pay extra for shipping or something, I'd totally pick a Maverick. I legitimately enjoy the game, but, you know.
I've legitimately never played it, so I'm don't really want to drop $1,200 on one or $2,000 or whatever they are.
Oh, you do. $1,500.
I have a hole in my row back here.
Yeah, I need to make one.
$1,500?
Yeah, I need to make one so I can force myself to be a little bit more, you know, willing to pick up a machine. Because that's all that's really, I guess, keeping back the Iron Man Vault Edition pickup.
The potential of buying a cheap Maverick?
Maverick or Iron Man. One of the two. No, it's just, like, if I had a machine pop up perfect situation today, sure, I'd buy it and stick it in my garage for a little while, but I generally won't pick up a machine unless I can put it straight into my house these days. Because I know how long it can take sometimes to make that happen, and
yeah,
I'm trying to be better about it.
Good. Responsible adulthood.
Yeah, it's so exciting.
Adulting it up over there.
Like a boss.
Oh, so I'm actually thinking about going to Arcade Expo. Seriously thinking about it.
It sounds fun.
It does. I didn't expect to be thinking about it. And the only knock I have is that I don't think they're going to have some of the oddball games that the other conventions have, which is appealing to me. The one-offs, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's a set arcade, basically, that you're going to. But it's like 20 miles from a friend's house, and he already said I could stay there. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll make it out there. It's January 16th through 18th in Banning, California. It's about an hour outside of Los Angeles, I think. I don't know. I am really bad at that whole area, geography-wise. My buddy, I would say, lives in Los Angeles, but he said it's only 20 miles away. But then I was talking to Steve Pandahl, who also lives in Los Angeles, and it was like an hour and a half away from him.
That's probably 20 miles by LA driving standards.
No, he said 20 to 30 minutes. So I took it as 20 miles, but maybe it's like a mile away. I don't know. In New Mexico time, that's 20 miles away. Anyway, they have 550 pinball, 200 video games. They're all on free play. They've got free seminars. I noticed that Walter Day was going to be there. They've got Guinness on board to do the most people playing pinball at once record that seems to get broken constantly now. So, anyway, check it out, arcadeexpo.com. I will let you know if I go. Mike from Wizard Amusement offered to do some interviews and be our man on the scene there if we need him to. So might have to take him up on that.
Cool. Yeah, it sounds like a good time, man.
How far is LA from you? Like 15 hours?
To drive?
Yeah.
About 12. 12, 12 and a half.
That's about the same.
I have a pretty straight shot by freeway. I don't have to do any sort of weird.
Yeah, so do I. It was like $170 to fly. So it didn't sound that bad.
Flying from here is, you can get tickets in South for Southwest for about $80. So
there you go. You should go.
What's the date?
It's cheap.
Forget.
January 16th through 18th.
I'll think about it.
Pray about it. Get back to us. Did I mention refreshments are available for sale?
I'm going.
Okay, thank you. Keep flip part out, Josh. Keep flip part out, Josh.
Yeah, Josh, what you gonna do?
You with me, Josh? Josh, you there?
Josh, answer it.
Josh keeps dropping out. I got Jeff here, but I can't get Josh to...
Let's just go on without him.
We'll have to just move on.
Yeah, just go on. It's not a big deal.
So we got a bunch of these, and one of them was really close to one that I wanted to do.
I held off from doing one because we got several good ones, so I figured...
Yes.
I just play answer.
I wasn't going to do it, but I might at the end.
Okay.
Since one of them's really similar. All right, you ready, guys? You ready, listeners at home?
It's going to get crazy.
Keep flip trade is what Mike Smith called it. Which flipping and trading are similar. What would we be trading for? He should have put in four machines. Or we'd be trading one for the other. Well, we know what he meant. Although, oddly enough, Taylor Reese also called it keep flip trade. Have we been saying it wrong this whole time?
No, maybe they just can't bear to part out a machine.
Maybe one of them is the alias of the other. Mike Smith is kind of a alias-ish name. Anyway, his three are Firepower, Black Knight, and Black Knight 2000.
Okay, I'm going to surprise you probably a little bit on this one, but I would keep the Firepower. I would flip the 2000 and part out the Black Knight, because those are always blown out. So, keep the Firepower.
I would do the exact same thing.
Oh, wow. I thought you would be a Black Knight, one or the other keeper.
No. Firepower is by far my favorite of those three games to play.
Same.
Black Knight 2000 is by far the best looking of those three games.
And sounding.
And sounding, definitely. And, you know, Black Knight's fine. But, yeah, a ton of them are blown out and worn down to the wood.
Yeah.
So. Boom, there you go.
Consensus.
Taylor's being kind of a smartass. He said, the Pinball Podcast, Coast to Coast, or Game Room Junkies?
Easy. No, it's not. Because the keeping is the hard part. Obviously, you'd part us out, right?
Yeah. Be better off for both of us, probably.
Well, see, because parting out Coast to Coast, that's straight up causing a divorce. So,
yes.
We're going to have
we're no home wreckers here.
Yeah, we're not up for that. But whether you keep them or Game Room Junkies, that's where it gets tough. But I'm going to keep Game Room Junkies only because I want to share in their collections. Sorry, Nate, but they just beat you collection-wise. That's the only reason, though. So I'm flipping Nate, by flipping him. What would that mean for a podcast?
Flipping a podcast? They just rebrand it?
So.
It'd be like a coast, north to south?
From one coast to the other. Civil War pinball. Podcast?
Yeah.
Okay.
Between two coasts?
With Zach Galifianakis?
One coast to live? Yeah, I don't know. Too many coasts. Too many coasts.
Too many coasts.
Yes.
No, I would keep them both, and I'd flip you and part me out. How about that? Yeah.
There you go. Beautiful. James Hale. Well, I'm saving James's. Another James. James Stark wrote in T2BF, Batman Forever, and Tales from the Crypt.
I would keep the Batman Forever, flip the T2, and part out Tales from the Crypt just to keep him from talking for a while.
Oh, keep the Crypt Keeper.
No, flip the Crypt Keeper.
Keep the Crypt Keeper from talking.
To keep him from talking for a little while, yeah. To prevent him from talking for at least how long it takes for the next person to install him.
I like that. I would definitely keep the Batman Forever. I was thinking of flipping the Tales from the Crypt because it'd probably go for more than the T2. But I prefer T2 over Tales. And they're all fun games.
Yeah.
He also gave us another one, Johnny Mnemonic, NBA Fast Break, and Black Rose.
I should keep the Johnny Mnemonic, I know that. But as of today, right now, I actually probably be more interested in having an NBA Fast Break in my collection. So I'll keep that, flip the Johnny Mnemonic. And what was the third? I forgot already.
Black Rose.
Black Rose, yeah, I'd part that out. Sure, someone needs some Canon mech or something on that.
I would definitely keep the NBA Fast Break. I would flip the Black Rose because you don't see it as often.
That's probably true.
And Johnny Mnemonic, if it had some nice colored cabs, somebody would pick that up when I parted out. Be thrilled. And then maybe the playfield could become a Matrix someday.
That's true.
If they ever do those kits. He also says, forget this Andrew guy and mention Maverick. None of us want to see him on a t-shirt. We were joking about, I think, Andrew Haney being our new whipping boy. But, yeah, no, we'll keep the Maverick thing.
Yeah. Well, it's not forced. It happens. It's not like we're choosing to do that.
Yes. So I've jumped into the 21st century, and I've been looking at our Twitter a little more often.
Okay.
And we got one from @ChuckWirt the other day. And he says, Big Game, Jungle Lord, or Blackout?
Oh, man. I like playing Jungle Lord. I'm not a big fan of the sounds it makes. Blackout's kind of cool, not as common. Big Game's all right. Okay, I'd probably keep the Blackout, and I think I would part out. Well, I'd flip the Big Game, and I'd part out the Jungle Lord because that's another game that gets hammered to crap, and there's enough of interest in that game they'd probably be able to get some good value parting it.
I would definitely keep the Blackout. I like the art, and I like the layout quite a bit. Excuse me. I like Jungle Lord okay, but I'm not a big fan of the two-level games like that and Pharaoh and Black Knight. I guess I like Pharaoh quite a bit, but I don't know. I wouldn't want to own any of those, I don't think, but it's kind of fun, so I'd probably flip it. And I have no love for Wide Body Stern, so I'd probably just part out the Big Game.
Just burn the kit. Use the burn that we had.
Yes. Yeah. All fun games, but yeah. I like that. Those are kind of oddball. They're all around the early 80s.
Yeah.
Kind of a cool selection there. So good job. All right. So now James Hale did Big Lebowski, Full Throttle, and Hobbit.
Yeah, that's hard. Honestly, so it's essentially asking beforehand. I think I would take The Hobbit. I don't own a Jersey Jack. I think that...
You bet you do own a Highway and a...
I know, I'm saying... I just think that seeing it's his second go-around, he'll probably have less in technical issues to deal with. I think he's probably learned a lot by having put one machine out already. though.
Can't tell if you're being sarcastic. Or...
No, I'm being serious. I think I think that a lot of the kinks from Wizard of Oz will have been ironed out in The Hobbit.
You're not being sarcastic.
I'm not. I think it's gonna be a lot smoother experience for buyers and owners. I would actually, and I think the game looks fun, so I'd probably take The Hobbit. I would. It's so hard to say to part out either one of those other two, though. Big Lebowski looks like tons of fun. I'd love to own it. I'm just thinking in my collection, I would see The Hobbit getting played more. So that's why I went that direction. Same with Full Throttle. I'd probably flip the Big Lebowski because I have a feeling that's going to be some cash down the line. And I'd probably part the Full Throttle, as painful as that is to say. So.
All right, I keep the Big Lebowski, no brainer there. Love the film, love the theme.
Looks great.
Looks great, yeah. Hobbit, I would probably flip. It also looks really cool. I love the theme there. Somebody else can love it, though. I'm done with Broken Jersey Jack games for a little while. And then Full Throttle, it parts itself out. I would pull out the Full Throttle elements, sell that to an alien owner as a kit, and then I'd have a cabinet ready to go for an alien kit.
You're sly.
Boom.
So, you're win, one smooth win, operator.
Win. Yes.
That is very much operator behavior.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so here's my... I've had this itch of buying a new boutique game. Not that I'm going to do it, because I'm done with the pre-order thing. I'm done with it. And I've been thinking of getting out of the hobby anyway, so...
No, you're not.
Not completely. Not completely, but at least selling everything except... Metallica and Roadshow. I've been thinking about that a lot lately. But anyway, so here's my three.
I will push you back from the cliff. Don't worry about it.
No, I really, really want a nice backyard.
And
that's the best way to do
is
it.
This,
to
sell my this game. Is just like a real, really very well hidden way of saying you want to sell me Pinbot. I get it. It's cool. We can talk about it later.
The Pinbot and the Whirlwind would probably stay.
Okay, there it is.
But Waz, Simpsons, and X-Men, and Batman could go.
All right.
I don't know. I would probably do it. If my wife said okay, I'd probably post them tomorrow. But we've been fighting about it for months, and I just don't see it happening. I need a catfish to convince my wife online, gain her confidence, and tell her to flip her pins. And fix up her backyard.
Well, most of the
She won't listen to me, but she'll listen to a stranger online.
Okay, I will create an identity. I'm very convincing.
Please do. Thank you.
So,
Jeffina.
Yeah. Well, don't tell her the name before I get to it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So,
and then just put like a makeup guru, Jeffina Smith. All right. So what's your breakdown? Oh, I didn't tell you yet, did I?
No.
All right. So here's the boutique games. Full Throttle, America's Most Haunted, Lexi Lightspeed. They're all like around $6,000 or less ish.
So this is your keep flip part out, huh?
Yeah. All are games that I would seriously consider owning or would like to play and own someday.
Yeah, Lexi Lightspeed's really interesting because you're buying a platform that can evolve there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot like getting a PIN 2000 game with the idea that they weren't going to shut down PIN 2000.
Right.
But America's Most Haunted, I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Right.
So... I've played Lexi Lightspeed.
Yeah, no.
Okay, I would. Form. I think right now, today, based on what I've seen, my worry is that Lexi Lightspeed may just turn into the super awesome thing. I'd regret not getting it, but with the future support, I think I'd have a better chance getting that down the line. So I think I would keep America's Most Haunted, flip the Lexi, and Full Throttle is the third.
Yeah,
and part it again. I don't have anything against it. I don't know why I ended up in third place
both times. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah, I would probably... Dude, I don't know. I'd actually probably keep the Full Throttle, because I really want an alien down the line. And that's one I could keep and play for a couple of years and then turn it into an alien down the line. It wouldn't be vaporware. Either way, I would own a pin pretty soon.
Right.
America's Most Haunted, I haven't played, but again, I've only heard great things as well. And they're only making 150, so that's something I'd definitely like to play for a while. And then I guess I could flip it. Then Lexi, I really, really like. It's taken, what, 3 years just to get to where it is? And I would hate to see game number two take another 3 or 4 years.
Sure.
It seems like the hard part is behind them. It's just programming right now, but I don't know why we don't have any game shipping yet.
Yeah, it's
weird.
I don't know what's it seems like there's games that are done or should be done that are not coming out as quickly as I ever expected, but I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Every day, every new announcement is potential money that could be taken out of your pocket and put somewhere else because you're not shipping games.
Right.
Once the thing's shipped, you have that money, and all these fully refundable pre-orders, kind of scary with all this new hotness or whatever coming out.
Yeah, especially, you know, The Walking Dead was the property everyone was kind of waiting to see if it was actually going to happen or not. And I have a feeling a lot of people dropped out of pre-orders with some of the boutique games and picked up a Walking Dead because it was immediately available. So.
Right. Yeah. That's a huge selling point. So, I don't know. It looks awesome. Did you see the newest video where, like, the ball's, you know, bouncing around, obviously? And the whole game, for those who haven't seen it, you should look it up because the whole game is a LCD monitor. The whole play field is.
Yeah.
Or the bulk of it, anyway. Anyway, there's, a smoke trail following the ball, like Zen Pinball. And it really follows it, like, very closely.
Yeah, so it's
constantly
really cool.
Reading the location of the ball. It looked awesome. The games looked like the different modes looked a lot of fun.
Yeah, I really like what they're doing there. That's why I struggled so hard on not picking it, and I probably would ultimately regret it, but I think it's going to be around for a while. And you're buying a platform there, so you can kind of, you buy something that they've done down the line, you can always go backwards with it, too. So it's really cool.
Yeah. You download a new game, or you swap out that back of the playfield.
Yep.
For a new layout. Pretty awesome.
It's nifty.
It is nifty. All right, so there you go. Oh, crap. All right, so I forgot a little note on our virtual front here. Sorry. Okay, let's just get into our featured five. You good? Do you want to save or anything?
I'm totally good. The only thing I forgot is to narrow it down to five.
That's okay. I don't have five. I have a hard number one. And then another, like, eight.
Sounds about right.
Here's our top. We can't even call it a featured five. We should just call it our holiday shopping list.
And not limit it to five?
No.
Okay.
Because we want to involve the listeners here. So what we're going to do is, one of my favorite things about the holidays is you get, like, a Game Informer, and they have the holiday shopping guide, and it's 10 pages, and it's, you know, oh, this is what gamers really like. This is what sci-fi guys really like. This is what book people like. And there's books that have come out that I would have had no idea, never heard of, but then I get to see it in these magazines.
Yeah.
Or whatever, a shirt or, you know, something cool, some DVD or something that I didn't know was even out, but they've cherry-picked it to feature for their holiday shopping list.
Yes.
And Think Geek does it. I mean, everybody does it. I'm sure probably Sports Illustrated does it.
It's quite the tool for clueless parents. Like, well, yes. My boy likes pinball. What would I get for him? So
we've come up with a couple items that are not, I don't know. They're kind of fun. Stuff you don't need, but they would be good gift ideas. Fun, not tools. Well, maybe yours are tools. I didn't put any tools on my list.
I don't have
fun stuff for pinball guys.
I didn't go the tool direction. Well, one or two ride the line, but it's okay.
There you go. So around the 55-minute mark or whatever, tell your wife to tune in if you want something other than a tie. And
I think I'm going to write a post to accompany this, Don. A standalone gift guide post.
That'd be fantastic.
But it will wait.
Well, we want you to... I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll wait until the, you know...
Next week.
Yeah. Whatever.
So what we'd like the listeners to do is we'd like to submit their ideas, stuff that they think is super cool, I tried to keep all mine under $100, but, you know, in the gift category. And we will add it to a big holiday compendium shopping list. So stuff from around the web. So that'll be our contest this month. David Paul from lifeunderglass.net donated a couple shirts for a couple contests. One has Darth Vader on it, and one is like a boxer getting hit in the face with a bunch of pinballs. They look awesome. Let me give a little plug here. Whoever wins this contest will get their choice of the two, and then we'll do another contest next month or something for the other one. But it's lifeunderglass.net. $2 of each shirt that he sells goes to charity. He supports the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption and Project Pinball. If you buy their shirts through the Facebook page, you like them on Facebook, you get a 10% discount too. So check out Life Under Glass on Facebook and lifeunderglass.net. And also Measle Mods is selling their shirts. And there's like 60-some designs. There's a ton of designs. So if you want to win one, it's size extra large. Email us pinballpodcast@gmail.com with your holiday gift ideas when we're done here. Cool?
I think it's very cool.
All right.
I hope the listeners
do. You want to throw one out?
Okay.
Yeah, I hope the listeners do.
Let me just get the big money one out of the way first. Sure. It's not really that big money anymore, but a tablet, like whether it's an Android tablet, an iPad, or whatever. They are super helpful when you're shopping out pins, because when you do the teardown, you can take a bunch of pictures, you upload them to that tablet, which you can have sitting right to the side, and then you can scroll through backwards through your pictures for the rebuild. It's also really nice if, you know, you have a Wi-Fi network where you are working on your pin to look up stuff while you're right there. Anytime I'm shopping out a pin, I am looking at a tablet quite often. And they're super great for playing videos of whatever you want while you're shopping too, or playing podcast music, whatever. I totally love having a tablet as a pinball person.
And Johnny Rico over here.
You can get a Nexus 7 for like $200.
I've got a wind up AM radio that I play when I'm shopping pins.
That's depressing. Don't do that, guys.
You can get a Nexus 7 for how much? $200?
Sure.
What is that? Android Nexuses?
Yeah, that's like
is that the Samsung Nexus?
No, the Nexus 7 was Asus did that.
Jesus?
Asus.
Oh,
it's not Asus. Okay. That's not how you say it.
Okay,
it rhymes with Zeus.
Okay, Asus. All right.
No, it doesn't really matter what you go with, as long as you can just have it there for, like I said, it's easier than playing back your pictures on the small phone screen or the little digital camera screen. Super convenient. And the last time I did my major pin shopping, I was just going through stuff on Netflix as well as I was working on the pins. It was cool. So, tablet.
Cool. Yeah, tablet. That is a great suggestion. Somebody has a wife who will hook them up with a tablet, let me know.
And yeah. It's really fun playing the digital pinball games on it. So,
yeah, two for one. All right, I think my most expensive one is currently out of stock, but it is the SparkyPinball.com's MDM, Micro Display Mod.
Yes.
We talked about on previous shows, they got them for a bunch of different games, like a little TV you put in there. So he's working on getting them back in stock. So keep an eye on that. But I put them, Wizard Amusement Shooter Rods. Another one is the Nifty Variety Packs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty much all the LED companies have these variety packs, anywhere from $5 to $50. And you just get a bunch of different types of LEDs. You can sample them, check them out, see what they do. So there's our little sponsor roundup.
I agree.
Have some fun with it. Stuff you wouldn't normally buy. If you buy a kit or if you buy, you know, 100 of the same bulb, it's a little bit different than if you're just messing around with all these different types.
Yeah, it's really nice to figure out what you like.
Right.
LEDs vary so much. And so it's good to find out what you like before you commit to a full machine swap. So.
Yes. All right, that's our sponsor roundup. So there you go. Go for it, Jeff.
Okay. More.
Josh, you there? Josh, did you have one?
He's just not there.
Still not here.
So other stuff now, besides the tablet. Sure. Okay, so now actual things that you might buy someone.
You calling me cheap?
No, I'm saying that's a big ticket item. So, okay. So a rolling toolbox. I have one of these. It wasn't very expensive. It's all plastic, but it tilts back and rolls around with you.
Yeah, I've got one too.
They're nice. You know, could they hold a lot? And it's really nice just to be able to pull it alongside the machine you're at. So, yay.
Yeah, and where can you find like a cheap tackle box? They're all like $60 on Amazon.
Well, you're looking on Amazon's probably the problem. Walmart, unless you're opposed to Walmart.
I am, but I'd still shop there.
Well, okay, so when you say tackle box, is it going to be like a simple one that has like the huge space in the bottom and then the small tray on top? Or do you need one of those big fold-out multi-level ones?
Fold-out multi-level ones.
Okay, so then Walmart may not be your jam for that. Maybe, I don't know. The simple ones are only like $5, but...
I don't want a $5 one. I want like a $30 one.
Yeah.
Okay. I want a $60 one that costs $30.
Go to Sportsman's Warehouse. They have to have one in Albuquerque, right?
Yeah, we do have one.
Okay, try that.
I'll try it. All right, looking at Walmart.com, they do have a bunch of them for like $15.
There we go.
Good job, Jeff. Thank you.
Yeah.
They're Plano and Flambeau brand. All right, anyway.
Probably a good band.
Good band?
Brand.
Getting back to... I love Flambeau. They're awesome. Especially their early stuff. All right, getting back to our pinball shopping list. I'm going with the Pinball Life coasters. The laser-etched coasters from Pinball Life. I better look them up and make sure they still have them. But they had a bunch of different designs, and they're just like back glass art, or flyer art, rather. So sometimes you'll have just the back glass, sometimes you'll have like a little cabinet, and then the back glass. They're really cool, they're really heavy duty. Let's see. And of course now, oh yeah, I am seeing them. Pinball themed other marble coaster sets, with storage rack, even.
Ooh.
Yeah, let's see how you order your...
You know you're a big fan coasters. Of racks.
I love racks.
Big fan of racks or a fan of big racks? I don't know. One of the two.
It looks like they are made by Laserific, so maybe it'd be easier to contact them. Pinball
I'm
Life
just
right
saying
now,
you're a rack man.
Technically, no, I'm not, actually. I'm more of a pinball leg man.
Oh, okay.
Than a pinball rack man.
But you can appreciate a nice rack. Like, pinball racks are pretty sweet. You can put a lot of...
These are fantastic racks.
Okay.
I love a nice black rack. So these are... They only have 6 games, and they're all Sterns. But they used to have a bunch. I've got a Whirlwind, a Fire...
Stern racks.
Are you looking up Stern rack? Laserific made them.
Okay.
We'll have to nag, who's it, Joe, over at Laserific to see what the deal is.
All right.
I demand to know more about your rack.
Stern. No, Laserific.
Laserific, yes. What's yours, Jeff? Just let's put this thing to rest soon.
I actually have quite a few, but next on the list would be a big bag of microfiber racks. They sell them in like, you can get a bag of like 100 of them, and it's cheaper than you'd think, but, you know, I've got a big bag of those just yellow ones. I think they were at Costco, and it was pretty cheap. And it's kind of nice because you can go through a whole bunch, and then when you finally decide to wash them, you can wash like 20 at a time. And when your wife steals a rag for dusting or for cleaning up some mess that one of your lovely kids made or something, it's not that big of a deal. Like, I used to be pretty protective of my small collection of microfiber rags.
Yeah, soak them in ether, start trolling the Walmart parking lots.
Yeah. So let's just get one of those big bags for your pinhead man. Of choice.
Yes.
There'll be no more fights.
That's right. All right. Yeah, that's a great suggestion. I'm glad you're not my wife and buying me some rags for Christmas.
Microfiber
Here, honey,
rags.
I bought you some rags.
I'd be happy. I'm not a man of such complicated taste.
You're a simple man who loves a good rag. All right.
I'm putting it early because we're going to end strong.
Oh, we're going to end strong. Okay. So I had put the Game Room Junkies minimalist posters on here. But, like, they really only have two. They're not pinball-related, but they're arcade-related. They had an awesome pinbot design, but they never made it into a poster. So then I was like, well, let me see. So I started looking up pinball posters online, and fineartamerica.com has quite a few. They are anywhere from, like, $18 to hundreds and hundreds of dollars, because you select the canvas, you select the printing quality and size and everything. And there's a lot of images. There's probably 50 or 60 different images here. No. There's 211 images. Wow. So, yeah, they have a lot of awesome images, and you just get it all basically custom made and sent to you. So, pinball posters, a bunch of cool stuff there. Check out fineartamerica.com, and then, I don't know, Google, whatever. Search for pinball. You'll see them.
Cool.
And Game Room Junkies, if they still have any, you can buy them from them, too.
Yeah, I particularly like the pinball one.
Yeah, I love the Pinbot one. I have the Dig Dug one, but that Pinbot one is sweet. So, Preston, if you're listening, please make that Pinbot one.
Yeah, what's your problem, dude?
He's slacking off making tournaments and huge, successful, whatever they're called, conventions about pinball and fried stuff. I don't know.
All right. Here goes the next one, Don.
Here we go. It's a rock.
It's a little bit better than that.
A short leg on your pinball machine.
A table that has, like, fold-up legs. So, like, a card table. I have, a longer, like, Lifetime table they sell at Costco. Yeah. Fold-up legs. It's really nice because you can fold it up, slip it under your pinball machine, or, you know, lean it up against the wall.
Yeah.
They're great for when you're working on a machine. Pull it out, set the legs up. You don't have to have the table up all the time. It's easy to store it. It's great. I use mine a lot.
That is a great suggestion, actually.
So, fold-up table.
Fold-up table, yeah. They're pretty cheap at Costco, too. I think they were like $25.
Yeah, they're not bad.
Yeah. I have the Stern box from X-Men. It's still in my living room as a fort for my kids.
Yeah.
whenever I'm working on games, I use it as a table. Just throw my tools on top of it. Yes, but that won't be around forever.
Just like the American Buffalo and the Native American, Don and the Sternbox wastes no part.
That's right. I even recycled the portholes I cut out of it.
Don't be a pervert.
Portals. Oh, no, not glory holes. Portals.
I'm sad.
On eBay. Yes, eBay. Pinball ornaments.
Yep.
They're freaking sweet. They haven't made any in many, many years. So you need to buy them up now. Hallmark made two. They made a Bugs Bunny one and just like Santa playing pinball. They light up and make noise and crap. They usually run between $20 and $30, depending on condition. Some sellers are up even higher. But they seem to kind of fluctuate. Like I just got one recently that I've been eyeing for like years, but I didn't want to spend more than $20. And I finally didn't spend more than $20. So yeah, just keep an eye on eBay. It's a really cool, obviously holiday themed. And they don't make any more, so we got to get them out of these lousy Hallmark collectors' hands, right?
Yeah,
get them
I
into
know.
The pinball community.
There are some really cool ones.
Yeah. So there you go. There's some holiday cheer. Next.
Okay. This one is one that I use quite a bit, and I have both of these. But I have a room that, like, one of the walls is. Almost the entire wall is a giant whiteboard. It's awesome for when doing tournaments and stuff. But in one of my pinball rooms, yeah, I have more than one.
Rooms.
Ladies. Yep. In one of my pinball rooms, I have a couple of blackboards where I have glow-in-the-dark wet erase markers. And I let people write the high scores up there, like, for the night. Usually it's used more for the arcade machines since they reset when you turn it off, but... if someone wants to go ahead and write their pinball score up there, either as a challenge or something, it's kind of cool having the glow-in-the-dark wet erase markers up there. And generally, they're magnet boards as well, so you can actually stick things to it as well. They're just nice for parties, get-togethers, for tracking... brackets in a very visible manner and stuff for the night. You use them a lot more than you'd think. So don't knock it, Don. Shut up.
I was just trying to think of a Goodwill Hunting type joke to make about super long equations or whatever, but coming up short.
There's no joke because it's solid.
It's solid. It's good. It's just good math.
Yeah.
You're supposed to say, how do you like them apples, but that's fine. Yeah, good one. Change the wall of your house. Good idea.
Do it.
All right. My next one is pretty similar. Troll Etsy. Etsy has a lot of cool pinball stuff. Some of it is ridiculously overpriced. But, man, there's a lot of actually pretty cool pinball stuff on there. You would not think to look. Everything from cards to jewelry, key fobs, nightlights. I don't know. People that aren't pinball people, but they get pinball machines. They're like, oh, this is cool. Let me make some stuff out of it.
Yeah. It's a great place to skirt copyright.
Yes. Yes. So Etsy is ESTY.com. No, it's not.
ETSY.
ETSY.com. Anyway. Yeah. Lots of cool stuff there. Check out Wire Knot while you're there, too. That's Dan Burfield's corner of the Etsy store.
Yeah, why don't you just do that?
I'll link directly to his store, but then people can explore from there. Good? Great.
Yeah. Next one?
Yeah, yeah, whatever.
To go along with your racks, drawers and bins, or as they probably call it in Australia, trunk. Drawers and bins are super helpful for a pinball dude or dudette. Not a lot of explanation why you'd need those, but varying sizes are nice, so you can organize your rubber rings, whatever, screws, parts.
Similar to a tackle box you would find at Walmart?
Maybe. I don't know. That's if you... It depends. Do you like to flip, or do you like to slide open?
I can't tell how many innuendos you're throwing at me at once.
None.
Oh, then yeah, yeah. I like to flip.
Okay. But yeah, just storage.
Storage.
Is helpful.
Yes. Organize those parts. Yeah. Yeah. One of my friends works at a garden center, and they had a big wooden display where they would put all their seed packets, and he gave it to me when they got rid of it. So it has, I don't know, maybe 100 little slots on it.
Yeah, I know what those are. That'd be perfect.
Yeah, that's where I keep mine. So what you need to do is befriend someone who works at a garden center.
A closing.
They got nothing to do all winter long. They're very lonely. Yeah. You ready?
Yeah, I am ready and excited.
So I'm looking at Etsy, and I actually saw something that I wanted to talk to you about. Did you see the pinball shields?
I don't know. What is a pinball shield?
It's a cabinet protector. It's a plastic sheet that slides over the side, that affixes to the side of your cabinet, that protects the cabinet.
I haven't seen that.
It's kind of like Translite, but it's clear. I saw it on Pinside, but I just noticed it here on Etsy, too. They're $150. They fit over everything except, looks like, the start button and the shooter rod.
Huh, interesting.
And it uses all... It just uses parts of the cabinet. It doesn't have adhesive on it or anything. It just uses the screws on the cabinet.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, there you go. Well, now I gotta link it. I made more work for you by splitting the track, and I made more work for me by mentioning a different item.
That is karma.
Karma, yes. Where do I get our show notes? Oh, I don't need them. I wrote them down. Okay, so our next one, I asked my wife, actually, what she thought a good one was, and she said money, and that's a pretty obvious one.
Yeah, pinball money guys slash always gift need cards. Money.
Yeah. Well, even less than gift cards, I'd say money, because there's so many like weird, oddball pinball parts places that you don't want to commit to just one when you need a part from, oh, here's something from Marco, here's something from Bay Area, oh, only Mad carries this part. So, anyway. So, her suggestion, straight from my wife, was money. But mine is a Pinball 101 DVD.
Oh, that was on my list, too.
Oh, good. It is made by Randy and Keith Elwin. It's really, it's not just good information, but it's really fun to watch, too.
It's entertaining. It is.
Yeah. Very entertaining, well-done pinball tutorial DVD.
Yeah.
Or it's also an app. You know, if you want to get somebody an iTunes gift card, it's like, I don't know, $6, I think, or $4.
Yeah, I lumped that in with a handful of suggestions. Like, I think Tilt, the Battle of Safe Pinball, is still pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Special when lit. I watched that recently. It's still good. It's aged a lot as far as where the industry is. It's almost fun to go back and see how of a downer note everything was on then. Nice. Because the rally that we've been to, that the industry has made, is fascinating. The Life After Death and this old podcast DVDs are also good.
Yeah, so any pinball DVDs, not a bad thing.
Especially if we ever produce one.
That will never happen.
I know.
Crap, I just lost it. Anyway, you can get it on CD Baby, The Pinball Collector, and The Pinball 101. They're $19.
Well worth it. And 102 is coming eventually.
Yeah, I thought it'd be out by now. They teased it before the summer.
Yeah. They're definitely in the production phase on that, so.
I hope so. I hope they get a lot of snow this year in Southern California. So they can
lock them in.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'll probably happen.
That'll help, yeah.
My next one, it's one I have, and it's a big hit for like pinball gatherings. That's a mini fridge. They're fairly cheap to get a little mini fridge and have it. If you have the space for it and you don't mind people drinking around your machines, maybe you've got pin gulp caddies or whatever, but a mini fridge is awesome for having in pin parties.
That's true. I don't have one, but that would be nice.
It is nice.
You can get them at Costco, $150, or even less, I think.
You can get them for less.
Yeah, $100.
You can get them for $100 or less. Yeah,
$80.
I think
$35.
Mine was on sale, and I think I got it for like $59, and it holds plenty. So it's good.
Between
stuff.
7 and 10 sodas.
Only if they're cans. No. I think it'll hold probably about, if I do cans, probably about 60 or so.
Oh, great.
So, yeah.
Good one. Okay, we're winding down here. I only got one more after this. It's Drop Target Zine.
Yeah.
There's 6 of them out now, and some, like, buttons you can get. So droptargetzine.blogspot.com. It's a great little illustrated interviews, zine. Mystery machines. Yeah, zine. It's made by Alec Longstreth and John Chad. And there was even a cameo by Ryan Claytor in a recent issue.
Yeah, cool art and imaginative.
Yeah, they're like nice. Kind of nice quality zines. And they're cheap. They're between like $4 and $6, I think. So you can get the whole collection there for, I don't know, around $30.
Very, very nice.
I'm actually going to say my number one because it kind of ties into this. And my number one, absolute, this is like the best thing I think you could get for a pinhead for Christmas or whatever for your holiday of choice. That would be the Pinball Compendium books by Michael Shaloub.
And that was my number one as well, so good job.
Like mine's. I'm trying to look it up on Amazon, see how much they are. They're kind of expensive. Like
they
$40
are.
Bucks, 40 yeah. to 70 bucks, I would guess.
And there's three.
Yeah, there's, I thought there was four now.
Oh wait, there. Ooh, yeah, there might be actually.
I might have to look at the wall. And he just updated the newest one like a year ago. Yeah, there's five of them now. They're all around $40 to $50 on Amazon. Although 1982 to present is $95 new, but $30 used. Anyway, they're all really, really good. I looked at them, I don't know, hundreds of times, especially doing the podcast. Look at it constantly. Oh, actually, there's only four. The 1982 to present, like I just said, has been updated.
Cool. So yeah, they're fantastic books.
They go through every game produced, like every year by every company. There's tons of interviews and like behind the scenes information about different games, and not just like a couple games, but like constantly. Whenever there's empty space on a page, it's somebody talking about games.
Yeah.
There's tons of pictures, great pictures. Let's see. So it's 1930s to 60s, then electromechanical era, then 70 to 81. I mean, I'm doing these in the wrong order. And then 82 to present. And the greenish cover is the second edition. The bluish cover, the light blue cover, is the old version.
Yeah, I have the green one.
I've got the old one, I think. Anyway, yeah, check them out. They're awesome.
Yeah, and just lump those in. Pinball magazine and the book that they just put out with...
Santiago
Quifo?
Something, I don't know.
Yeah, those are good as well. But yeah, the Pinball Compendium are definitely a must-have for anybody who enjoys the hobby beyond just playing. Like, if they're interested in history, art, or facts, or any of that stuff, they're great. It's almost like a fully fleshed-out IPDB in print form. So
yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. So that was definitely my number one. I had a couple of, like, extras as far as mentions. A polishing kit is always super nice to have for playfields and stuff. Soldering station, if they don't have one and they're still using a normal plug-in solder stick, makes a huge difference. And then any sort of lighting, snake lights, magnetic lights, just like a standing lamp with has the kind of bendable head or whatever, any sort of light for working on machines themselves or any benchwork is also super helpful. So that's it. I think we both covered all I had. So
cool. There's a lot out there now. A couple years ago, this list would have been a lot smaller. So
yeah, we would have been scraping we would have been stretching for it for sure.
Yeah. So we would like you to send in your holiday shopping list items that you would love to receive or give, pinballpodcast@gmail.com, and you'll be entered to win a shirt from lifeunderglass.net. Cool. Good?
Yeah, great. Closure?
Great.
Great.
Actually, I'm going to look up something real quick here. Pinball Arcade, did you try Party Zone yet?
I haven't had a chance to try it yet. I was planning on it later tonight, though.
Yeah, I have not either. I don't, actually, I will not play it until it's out on PS3, which, whenever that is.
Uh-oh.
A long time from now, probably.
Yeah, it could be.
They just released Season 3 on PS3, but they did not piecemeal the last couple tables. So I have most of Season 3, but not the end of it. But you can buy it all in one big bulk package.
Yeah. Now. See, going back to my tablet suggestion, I have a Nexus 10, and it worked. They get the updates right away, and they're fun.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, it's not the same as sitting on your couch with a controller on a giant screen, but...
I like to play on the Vita, which is a glorified tablet anyway.
It's a tiny tablet.
A tiny tablet, yes.
Hey, don't talk to me about money. If you're buying a Vita, that's more than a Nexus 10.
I bought it on Black Friday like 2 years ago. And it was like $170 for the Assassin's Creed bundle.
Okay, that's actually a pretty good deal.
It was fantastic. Yeah, I did not plan on buying one, and I saw how cheap it was. I bought it. Okay, so I want to talk real quick about the Zacharia app. It got another big update, and now it says complete collection. So I don't know what that means. If they're not going to do the EMs, or they just need to put that there so people don't know it's getting updated, or I don't know what that means. But they changed a lot to it. So one of the big updates, it uses 4 times less storage. They removed a bunch of stuff. They compressed textures. It's only about 200 megs now instead of 800. So huge difference there. And they added a new table, Stars Phoenix.
Cool.
Yeah. And they always do like a ton of stuff to their updates. So they did a bunch of fixes and changes and all kinds of stuff. Getting a lot of support there, so check it out. And then I wanted to mention, I posted it on Facebook, but the Pinball Quiz app through the Amazon App Store, it's on the Fire tablet, and it's on Android.
Yeah. I haven't tried that yet, but I want to. That sounds fun.
Yeah. I downloaded it on my wife's Android phone, and I played a little bit today. It just shows you a piece of the playfield, and then you type in the it gives you, I don't know, 30 letters jumbled up, and you have to kind of unjumble it and spell the name. It plays a lot like some other game I played on iOS, but I can't think of the game. Was it Bookworm? I don't know. It's like a PopCap game, but with pinball. Anyway, it's pretty fun.
Bookworm was the letters that were all there, and you'd spell letters, and he'd eat them.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right. I don't know. Whatever. It plays like another game. It's still fun, though. Check it out. It's very. It's free. It has ads, but it's free. It's kind of... I don't know. It's not super polished or anything, but it's good enough.
Good enough.
Stop complaining, Jeff.
World. No, I'm saying good enough is good enough in my world.
Okay. Goonies, also good enough.
Yeah.
All right, we done? Anything else you want to add?
I said talk about video.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
So I don't have, like, the cool Papa setup and everything, but I did want to start doing a little bit of video. Some people have asked, actually. I've got a few PMs through Pinside if it's something we'd consider doing.
Josh won't shut up about it.
It comes down to the fact that video is actually kind of hard. Not that we can't figure it out. It's just time-consuming. But I thought it would be fun to do. So I am looking into different things that we could do. One of the things that I thought would be entertaining, it wouldn't be like a weekly thing or anything, just because the editing that would go into this would be really hard. But I thought it'd be fun if people wanted to submit a challenge or so. And it could be something like make it to a wizard mode on, like, I'd list the games I have. Someone could suggest the challenge, then I'd record myself doing it until I got it, and then kind of cut it up into a interesting or entertaining way. Maybe I'd cut together all the drains, the close calls, and then finally the successful completion of the challenge, whatever it might be. But I thought that might be kind of fun. If people have ideas of what sort of video content they'd like from us, I know when I used to post reviews of games, people really liked that, so maybe I could get back to that. But I think it'd be fun to do some video. I'm just not as equipped for it right now as other people, but that doesn't mean I wouldn't be willing to do it if the right idea popped up. So I guess I'm looking for inspiration. If people have ideas, throw them out there. I'll see if it's feasible to do. I'm thinking of upgrading my computer soon, which would make a lot of that way easier to edit and put together. But I don't know. I think it'd be kind of cool, and that might be coming out from us soon-ish, if I can get the right idea. So
yeah. Give you an excuse to have the glass off all your games, too. You don't want that glare going on. Yeah,
and then it's like, it looked like you were one-shot sort of starting that wizard mode, and it kind of blacked out for a second, and then you were in the mode. Interesting how that worked. But
action cut.
But no, it'd be... It, like I said, I've been asked several times by it, so it's kind of like the blanket response. Yes, it's something I'd totally do if I can just find a way of doing it without making it really lame. So,
yeah, please don't make it very lame.
I don't want it to be lame.
The way you described it in my head, it would look pretty cool.
So. I would hope so.
Yes, you could email or comment on any of these 16-year-old girl YouTube channels that have millions of viewers and just ask them what their setup is.
Yeah.
Because they've got it figured out.
Surely, yes. What I'm saying, Don, is you could be the PewDiePie of pinball.
But we'll leave comments on?
You can leave comments on, yes.
All right.
And Polygon doesn't have to do a news post about you turning them off.
Yes. So. All right. Yeah, that'd be fun. We've been talking about that for a long time, and it'd be nice to see that ball rolling.
Yeah.
So we still got t-shirts. You can get a Pinball Podcast Maverick-inspired t-shirt, $16 shipped in America, and roughly the same shipped to Canada. Thank you to, oh my gosh, that one guy, Atomic Boy. Anyways, we shipped one to Canada, is what I'm getting at.
You figured it out.
And I figured it out, I gave it to the measles and they shipped it. And then I gave them $10. So.
Good job.
Yes. Yeah, it's definitely more expensive to ship to Canada. We'll say $20 to ship to Canada. Does that sound fair?
I don't
know. It's significantly more expensive to ship to Canada, but it wasn't like we're losing our shirts either. Anyway,
that's very funny, Don.
I would like to lose all these shirts by sending them to you. So email us, pinballpodcast@gmail.com, and we can hook you up with one of our Pinball Podcast shirts. They are size medium through 2XL.
If it helps speed it along, we'll screen the lyrics to Pinball Wizard on the back.
We could.
No.
All right. Let's see. You can check us out on Stitcher somehow. You can check us out on Instagram, Pinball Podcast, Twitter.com, Pinball Podcast, Facebook.com, Pinball Podcast, Gmail Plus. What's it called? Google Plus. The Pinball Podcast. ThePinballPodcast.com and PinballPodcast@gmail.com. All of those places. We're everywhere except Elo. I got to sign up my Elo account with Pinball Podcast.
Too many places.
Yes. And what's it called? Tinder?
Oh, yeah. Check us out on Tinder.
Check us out on Tinder. We decommissioned our OKCupid account. Yeah.
Snapchat. All other sketchy forms of social media.
Somebody actually sent us a comment when we were making fun of Alta Vista and GeoCities or something. It might have even been Joe Zinkus, but I feel like I'm losing a lot of comments lately.
It's okay. There's a lot. There's been a pretty good amount of activity. So
yeah, and I think it was Matt Hansen who said he was lousy with fishtails in his area, but it was a private message, so I forgot to make that joke. So.
Too many fishtails.
If we private message each other, then I probably won't include your comments here.
We'll try.
I've been trying to get better about it, though.
Yeah, and that's why I said, like, I've been kind of bad. I had several through Pinside that I just, like, oh, shoot. But, yeah, the video thing was actually a theme, so I hope that satisfies most of what was asked. Sorry, guys. I'll get better, too.
Yeah, sorry. I need a raise, Jeff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, speaking of raises, let's give props to that guy that that gave us money and we didn't give him props.
Oh, he got mega props. He's in the show notes. Or the...
That no one reads.
Okay.
What's his name, Kevin?
I was saying, I think he's the first listener, non-contributor, to get mentioned in the show post. Notes. But yeah, it's Kevin.
So thanks, Kevin. Kevin G. Kevin G, he used the donate button on the pinballpodcast.com homepage.
It worked, too. Money.
Yes. He knocked the dust off it and sent us a couple bucks, and we appreciate it.
Oh,
Jeff hasn't sent me my cut yet, but I know it's coming.
Not yet. We just got the nifty contribution, so it's coming right after the show.
Oh, man.
So, you're going to get like 1750 or something
movie
like that.
Stars. Yes. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening.
Yeah.
And we'll catch you in a couple weeks. I love you.